May God bless our meditation on his word for us today as we mark the last Sunday of the church year and as we worship together the King of Kings. Throughout scripture, we see Jesus depicted in many different ways. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the Prince of Peace and the Word made flesh, just to name a few. Today, on the last Sunday of the church year, our readings reflect a different aspect of our Savior still. For today, we remember and we rejoice that Jesus is the King of Kings. And don't ignore the article there, because it's important. And I know all of you know about the importance of articles, right? There's a difference, isn't there, between an Ohio State University and the Ohio State University. And so, too, is there a difference between a king and the King of Kings? And I say that with confidence because Jesus is the King who rules in righteousness. Jesus is the King who reigns with regard. And Jesus is the King whose return is real. So let's reflect on each of those a little bit further. First, Jesus is the King who rules in righteousness. Everyone knows that the King makes the rules, right? Kings aren't elected by the people. They aren't beholden to their constituents. They don't have to work with the other side of the aisle. They don't have to worry about checks and balances. What the king says goes, which is fine as long as the king is upright and just. But history reminds us that they often aren't. 19th century writer Lord Acton is credited with this oft-used bit of wisdom: power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And perhaps you could finish my sentence there, not only because you've heard it before, but because you have seen it to be true as well. That's the way that things often go here on earth and amongst sinful people like all of us. Power can go to our heads. And it doesn't take much for us to see ourselves as so great and to see those around us as so not. Most of us don't need any help inflating our own ego. And that's why we shouldn't be surprised if kings are susceptible to this kind of thinking too. Because they just don't have power, they have absolute power. What the king says goes, and that opens a door for many bad kings. History is full of them, from the mad ruler Caligula in Rome to King John in England, to Ivan IV from Russia. Ivan was so terrible that he was given that adjective as a nickname because of his ruthless cruelty to rivals and to subjects alike. So a bunch of bad kings. And the Bible is full of bad kings too, like Saul, the very first king of Israel, who doubted God's word, turning instead to fortune-telling instead of trusting God and lashing out in anger and jealousy against David and others. Or how about Baasha, who took the throne of Israel in 909 BC only to make a point to kill his predecessor's entire household as his first order of business? Or how about Omri, who took the throne in 885 BC, and the Bible tells us he proved to be more evil than all the kings who had come before. Yes, the Bible is full of corrupt kings, but Jesus is not one. Jesus rules in righteousness. Jesus is holy and just. The Bible tells us that in him there was no sin, even though he was tempted every way that we have been. Through his word, we see then what is right and what is not. And since he is the king, what he says goes, which is fine, as long as he is upright and just. And Jesus is, for he is the king who rules in righteousness. He also reigns with regard. You know, when you're the king, it's not only easy to let your power corrupt you, but it's also easy to only think of yourself. We all can be tempted to look out for number one, but how much more so is that temptation when you actually are number one? And yet, that too is not a temptation that our king has given into. Rather, Jesus reigns with regard for the lowly. Don't believe me? Well, hear these words of Scripture. First from Mark chapter 10. Jesus says this, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Or what about this from Philippians 2? "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." Or how about this from the Gospel of Matthew? "But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven.'" Jesus is a king, is the king who reigns with regard for the lowly. He reigns not to be served by them, but to serve them. Through Jesus, and though he is God, he willingly emptied himself. He took on our frail flesh. He bore our sins. He died so that we would live. And he graciously invites all to come to him, even sick and weak little children who could do little of anything for themselves. Even women who had been caught in shameful public sins. Even a thief on a cross who believed despite his rebellious and wanton life. Even people like you and me who rebel against our righteous king regularly, weekly, and daily. Jesus reigns to bring you forgiveness of all of your sins. Jesus reigns to bring you assurance and peace. Jesus reigns to win for you the promise of never ending and eternal life in him. Jesus is the king who reigns with regard for you. So Jesus is the king who rules in righteousness and reigns with regard, but Jesus is also the king whose return is real. You know, in America, we live in a democracy, don't we? That's government by the people. A monarchy, well, that's government by a singular king or queen. A theocracy is government by Theo. Wait, that's not right, right? Even though he points just like any leader would, that's not right, because Theo from the Latin for God. So theocracy, what's that? That's government by God. You know, that's what Israel had for a long time in the Old Testament. God was their leader, and it was good. But after a while, the people of Israel looked around at the nations surrounding them. They saw the grass under the feet of the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites and many other ites. And the Israelites saw the grass under their feet of all of these monarchies. And they thought, you know what? The grass looks awfully good over there. And so the people of Israel felt left out. So they decided that they wanted to have a king to call their own to. And so that's what they did. Theocracy out, monarchy in. But it wasn't as smooth sailing as they thought it would be. Some of their kings were good. Some of their kings were bad. But all of them died. And all of them stayed dead, too. That's what you see when you read a history book in the Bible like 1st or 2nd Kings. Such and such a king lived and reigned for so many years. Perhaps he was good. Perhaps he was bad. Perhaps he was really bad. But then he died. Then he was buried. Then he stayed dead. The people of Israel were forced to live with the results of what they had asked for. The good kings, the bad kings, and all of the dead kings. Because none of them ever came back. Well, hundreds of years after Israel first demanded a king, God would send his people another king. This one wouldn't come in pomp and circumstance. This one wasn't born in a palace. He didn't wear royal robes, and the only crown that he would ever wear was one that was made out of thorns. You see, even though God's people had begged for a king, this king they decided they didn't want, not one bit. And so they rejected him, and they mocked him, and they cursed him, and they killed him. And that is that, they probably thought, when he breathed his last, and the crosses were emptied, and the tomb was sealed. But that wasn't that. Because this king was different. This wasn't just any old king. This was the King of Kings. For this king lived and died like all the ones that came before. But unlike every other king, this king's return is real. 3 days later, he would do just that, bursting forth again from out of now empty tomb. He burst forth to rule with righteousness, to reign with regard, and one day still yet to come, to return again for you too. For his return is real. You can count on it. Just as surely as Jesus, your King, returned to life on Easter morning, so too will he return on the last day for you and for all who are in Christ Jesus. And when he does, he will be greeted. How? He will be greeted as the king he is. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Every voice will shout the truth that you already know by faith, that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.